Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to Peninsula Obscura. I'm Karina Kolb.
And I'm Rachel Peacock.
This is a podcast about the strange and unusual state of Florida.
We'll talk about Florida's weird history,
paranormal activity,
and of course, true crime.
Each week, one of us researches a topic, and then we talk about it in depth.
Let's dive in. It's episode 21, y'all. Welcome to the rodeo.
Is this a rodeo episode?
I'm Rodeo Rachel. And this is Okay Corral Karina.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Did you just come up with that
yeah,
at the top of your head?
Yeah, I did. I'm riffing.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Our
episode has nothing to do with rodeos.
Oh, I got tricked.
You got tricked.
I mean, a country accent is always relevant in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida especially has so many unique accents.
Yeah. And if you go to Ocala, mm-hmm. you hear it. The further north, the further Florida. Nope.
Oh, boy.
The further north you go in Florida, the more south it gets.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, and so here we are, living it up. Karina's playing with moon sand. And I am very tired. But, you know, here at Peninsula Obscura, the show must go on.
Yeah, that's our secret. We're always tired.
We're always tired. It gives a little rasp to our voices.
I'm tired 100% of the time.
Yep, I'm tired even when I'm sleeping.
Oh, man, I feel that. Really do.
So, a question that I think a lot of people that are from Florida think about sometimes is the question of what people who aren't from Florida think of Florida. What comes to
definitely
mind?
Definitely assume Florida man is the first thing.
Yep, Florida man.
Meth. Alligators.
Beaches.
Oh, right. Yeah. The good stuff. Beaches, Disney World.
Disney World, yes. And I'm glad that you said Disney World because it's kind of funny. It's very iconic to Florida. And, yeah. Of course, we think of it before Universal Studios
A
lot of other things that Florida obviously has. And we assume that because Disney came before Universal. However, what if I told you there was a different park not owned by one of the big six, Disney, but it was a place where tourists flocked way before Disney and Universal parks were even conceptualized.
Wow. I've never heard of it. Is it still open? Is it Busch Gardens?
No, it's not Busch Gardens. Similar in name, but this park that I'm going to talk about today was in operation almost 35 years prior to Disney World.
Wow.
Before it even opens its gates. And almost 20 years before Disneyland California opened.
Wow.
So way back when. Located in Winter Haven, Florida's first theme park was called Cypress Gardens.
Isn't Winter Haven like where Disney is?
Yep, it's a little south of Disney.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's very close to Disney.
Cypress Gardens. I have heard of Cypress Gardens.
Okay.
I know nothing
about
it.
You know nothing?
Okay. I assumed that it was gardens.
Yes.
That it was like, you know, a botanical garden.
Yeah, it's a lot of flowers, but I'll get into how it started and
I mean, I wouldn't.
All the weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call it a theme park. So no, I'm interested in
It's a park.
Not shitting on your episode. It wouldn't come to mind.
Yeah, it doesn't. When you say Cypress Gardens, I mean, you said Busch Gardens. So it's like.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's in Tampa. And that's. Yeah. Everyone thinks of roller coasters. I've actually never been there.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know.
It sucks.
That's why.
That's my hot take.
I think as a kid, I think we were on our way there and then our like car broke down. So then we had to like get it fixed and then we just went home.
That's awful.
Actually, I don't even think it was our car. Like, I think we borrowed my grandparents' RV. Oh, anyways, no. I digress.
Okay.
So, even though both of us are Florida residents, I figured now that you've told me, but I already knew that you probably didn't know about this park.
Yeah.
And it is real.
It's and still open?
It thrived in okay. a big way.
Okay.
At one time, Cypress Gardens was one of Florida's biggest attractions. And even in 1963, the Grand Canyon tied with it as the what? Most popular tourist what? Attraction in the country. Yeah. Big time tourist
excuse
place.
Excuse me, that's insane.
It is, right?
That's crazy. That's a lot of draw. That means it was like a household name for Americans.
Yeah.
What the hell? That's so crazy.
Not anymore.
No.
But we're going back to the beginning, the start, and the idea for Cypress Gardens began in 1932. A man named Dick Pope Sr. and his wife, Julie, had just moved back to Florida, from, you could probably guess where, because...
New Jersey.
Close.
New York.
Yes. There it is. It's always New Jersey or
one
New
of
York.
Two options.
It's like, these people are only coming to Florida from New York or New Jersey.
Like my dad.
Yeah.
He's from New Jersey.
All right. Heck yeah. Did he start a theme park?
No.
Oh, well. This idea came from actually Dick's wife, Julie. She was doing some light reading in an iconic magazine called Good Housekeeping. And fun fact, this magazine is very old. I did not know this, but the first issue of Good Housekeeping was in 1885. So it's Whoa. Been around a real long time. Because, you know, this is the 30s, and I'm like, they're reading
well, I guess
it back
it's
then.
Kind of like the height of magazines, though, in a way. Like,
I guess
there's
so, yeah.
nothing else.
Yeah.
There's no other way to get content. It's the iPhone even, of the past.
But also not even content, like to order things too.
Oh,
because they didn't
yeah.
really have, they had, I mean, they started no having big stores,
right.
but they really had to like, they kind of.
You'd have to travel to get to a like a department store. There were no malls.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And anywho, Julie was reading this mag and she came across an article detailing the true story of a man who had opened up his large home, allowing anyone to come visit his estate in Charleston. By doing this and charging people an entrance fee, the article explained that the man had made in only 1 year about $36,000, which in 2020, that would be equivalent to about $677,000, which is a
Damn.
Lot of money for just like...
Just, I mean...
Walk around my house.
Weird. The kind of shit that people used to do yeah. for fun
I
is,
know.
Hey, want to pay money to see the inside of my home?
I know.
You betcha! Like, the fuck?
Yeah, it's... I mean, I don't want people to go see my house because it's not very clean right now. I'm a clean person, but... Can't say my bed's made today. So.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't want people in my house
also,
at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, they're going to track more dirt in, you know. So, of course, Julie, the idea seemed cool, and she told her husband about it, and he was all about it. He was like, let's make that money, let's make it a reality, and he said, someday we'll build a garden that will attract visitors to Winter Haven.
So they didn't have like a big house. They were
I'm assuming they had money. I could not figure out how they got the money or whatever. Hmm. I didn't look that deep into it, but
well, whatever.
They've got money. Let's
they're building let's build a garden.
Some stuff.
An amazing garden to rival the Grand Canyon. The hell.
Initially, the couple planned to beautify and rebuild the canals and chains of lakes in Winter Haven. They started on that and then planned on adding a hanging garden on Lake Eloise. And that's what later became Cypress Gardens.
Hmm.
They decided, what the hell, let's make something, and they began clearing the marshy land. That was Winter Haven, which is, you know, as Florida people and all the stories we've already talked about, people are just like, fuck it, we'll do it. We're just going to clear this like shithole land.
Yep, exactly.
It's like, I see something in this land, even though
it's all swamp.
It's swamp. People thought he was crazy for beginning construction in the middle of a marsh. And those people called Dick crazy names like Swami of the Swamp and Maharaja of the Muck.
Maharaja.
I'm bad. I'm sorry.
I mean, I could be fully wrong, but that's how I've always read that word.
Maharaja.
Yeah.
You look it up and you decide. But I guess I actually did look it up. But it's in India. It's a ruler. An Indian ruler. But yeah, interesting about that. I don't know.
Yeah, what is he? Are they being, is Dick
no
ethnic at all?
No, he's a white man.
Okay, so they're just being
assholes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I probably. Mean, even if he was Indian, that would not be okay at
it's
all.
Still
but you're
not.
Like, why? What's with the
no,
Swami?
It's weird.
Like,
it's like,
what is that about?
I don't know. I think it's a bit racist, but whatever.
Yeah.
Despite the non-believers, the popes succeeded.
Oh,
the popes. Sorry.
That was their last name?
I know that's going to be a problem. I knew it was going to be a problem because it sounds funny. The Catholic Pope.
The Pope succeeded in his garden.
With Julie's green thumb and Dick's perseverance, many laborers were able to create something pretty grand. The dream was finally realized when Cypress Gardens opened its gates for the first time on January 2nd, 1936. So I think 4 years later, not too bad. Especially clearing out what it was.
I don't how did you say how big it was yet?
It's 16 acres.
That's big.
And there was nearly 8,000 kinds of flowers covering the grounds. Canals were meandering through the land. And, of course, it was on the lake, Lake Eloise. Mm-hmm. And there were pathways put in place so that visitors could walk around the property. There was even a large white gazebo that became a famous feature of the park. And 2 years later, the Pope's... The Pope family added electric boats so that, like,
ooh,
they could journey the canals, which is really cool. And I'm going to show you a picture, Karina, of what it looked like. Now, these are postcards because I couldn't find photos that were, like, super old from the 30s.
Right. So these are.
But, yeah, these are. This is essentially what it looks like. It's very beautiful. But this is, like, the beginning.
Oh, they're vintage postcards.
Yes. I don't know the date on these, but we'll put some of them on the Instagram so you guys can see. So, yeah, it's really pretty. There's lots of flowers.
And Spanish moss.
Yep, and it's exactly what it is. It's a cypress garden, basically. So the cypress trees are overhanging with moss. And
yeah, and if you don't know what a cypress tree is.
Just Google it.
Well, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Karina, tell me what they look like.
Well, if you think about a swamp, you'll probably picture them. They're like all over the place in Florida. They have these kind of like triangle bases that are like, mm-hmm. they're really,
their roots
they
are
have
like
something
thick.
Called cypress knees, which are these.
I didn't know this.
Oh, you didn't know that's what they were
knees?
Called?
Knees.
They look like stalactites.
Yeah.
they look like they stalactites coming out of the ground, but they're actually the roots of the trees.
Okay.
So you know when a cypress is surrounded by all those like kind of little pointy, yes, look like maybe baby cypresses. They're not. They're called cypress knees.
Oh.
And they're roots. And I think it's to
keep
them out of the water.
Mm-hmm. That's like mangroves. They have those too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
so yeah, if you think swamp, it's like probably one of those first trees that you think of. Yes. They're really
and
pretty.
They really edge of the water usually. Mm-hmm. So
they're pretty spooky looking too.
Yes.
I'm a fan.
Classic Florida look.
Yeah.
So tourists began visiting Cypress Gardens. And the Pope family prided themselves on their colorful gardens, and they had no issues keeping the plants. That was until the winter of 1940.
A freeze.
Temperatures dropped low enough to cause damage to some of the greenery in Cypress Gardens, and this created a big problem, obviously. The day after the freeze, the visitors would drive up to the front of the Cypress Gardens and see the sign, which had this giant vine on it, and it was kind of one of their best features, I guess they would say. And it was dead because it had frozen over. And because they would see this on the entrance wall, and it was a place that basically prided itself on gardens, people were like, okay, this doesn't look so good. We need to turn around. And so they left.
Sad.
Yeah. They're like, Winter Haven ain't much of a haven, I guess. Bad joke. This caused potential tourists to turn around and leave. And obviously, why would someone stay for a garden that couldn't even keep their vines alive?
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted.
And they were literally cold, probably, because it was cold. In hopes to draw attention away from the dead vine, Julie Pope, this woman's got some great ideas. She asked a girl, I assume she worked there or something, I don't know who this girl was, to go into her closet and, quote, put on an old-fashioned dress. That will be warm without looking warm, and we'll put a shawl around your shoulders. Then you go stand by the dead vine and flirt with everybody that comes in so hard that they don't see the vine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just distract them.
Yeah, it was a distraction. Crazy as it seems, the idea...
Very crazy, weird idea.
Yeah.
Go out there and distract them from the vine.
Grab your vintage dress, please, and go stand outside in the cold. So the idea actually worked and people kept coming. So like, even though the vine was dead, the woman was standing there. She was like, hello, how are you today?
Right. Like a mascot. The first Mickey Mouse.
Exactly. Yeah. and this problem ended up sparking an idea that would add another strange but positive part to the park itself.
Okay.
The solution to the dead vine inspired an addition to the park and added another attraction to draw in tourists beyond the flowers. From then on out, the tradition of having women dressed in long dresses all over the gardens began. And the, and the Cypress Gardens had their own living icons on the property, and they were called the Southern Belles. So there's these women dressed in these long gowns that are like very Southern.
We're talking like Gone with the Wind.
Yes. So I looked up the definition of a Southern Belle, and it's a proper young woman of the American South's upper socioeconomic class. So it's just a fancy Southern woman.
Yeah.
That's just standing in the garden.
What the fuck? Oh. That's,
yeah, I was going to ask you what you so think about weird. This. Tell me about it.
That so, is like weird Hooters.
That's what right? I'm saying. That's like a perfect analogy because it's like half of it is really cool because I'm going to show you pictures and it looks really pretty and like, but also like kind of disturbing just because I'm thinking about things that like, as a woman, I would think about, you know,
right.
I'm just like, oh my God, she's standing there. Is she getting sunburnt? How long does she have to stand there for? how many creeps have probably hit on her?
Right, like, does she have to, like, you said before that they told her to flirt with everyone. Like, yeah. Does everyone have to, like, flirt? Like, are they, like, are they getting tipped?
I don't.
Like, it just seems like, I guess it's kind of like Disney princesses for adults.
Yeah, I guess so, too.
But also, it's kind of sketchy, too, because they're wearing, like, what, like, antebellum, like, dresses? Mm-hmm.
They're just, like, big. They have, like, a hoop skirt.
Right. And it's the 40s, so, like, we're way past then, guys.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, even early, it's, like, late 30s, too. So it's, like, yeah. Anyways, here are a couple pictures of the women on the grounds. Now, this picture is pretty cool. If you look, you can see the gazebo. But this one, I don't know how they got these women out there, but they're just standing in the middle of the water.
Oh, that's kind of spooky.
Let me. Yeah. And here's another.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they're just placed.
Oh, they're just like.
They're like little dolls.
They're like little dolls.
Ugh, that's weird.
Or little, they're like decoration.
Yeah.
For the park.
Which I'm like. Half of me is like, okay, that's, like, they're pretty, it's interesting. Kind of cool, like, a tribute to, like, high classy women. I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, the dresses are gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's like a princess dress, right?
Yeah, and they're standing in the middle of flowers.
Yeah, but it's very weird. They're, like, just spread out, like mannequins, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just am, like.
I think it's like Disney princesses, honestly.
It is, but it's not still weird.
But I guess for kids, right?
For kids and families and anyone that wants to come visit. So, I don't know. There you go.
What a weird call. I guess it's not any weirder than like an adult in a giant furry mouse costume.
I guess. I think it's just for me, it's like the image of just like woman.
Yeah. It's objectifying in that they are,
and they're pretty
turning
women.
Into objects. Mm-hmm. They're just decorative people.
Yeah.
Very it's strange.
Yeah.
It's not something you see today really.
No.
At all. But no, I can't think of anything like that because the waitresses at Hooters are waitresses.
Yeah, and they're working.
They're working.
I mean, these women were working too.
Yeah, that's true. But they're just, I mean, I want to know, like, are they just standing there? Or are they engaging with, are they in character?
Like, I think they're in character, but okay, so
they're performing.
They're performing, so that's, they're just, I guess they're like, they're human versions of the flowers, so they're just like refreshing to meet.
They should be dressed like fairies instead of like,
right? I don't know,
plantation owners.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of it. It is aesthetically pleasing, just because it's like cool
the
with
aesthetic
the colors.
Alone is
the colors are beautiful.
That picture of them floating looks like they're standing on the water
is
very
cool.
Dope. It's a great picture. In practice,
no,
it's creepy and weird.
Exactly,
not a fan.
I'm like, did they get breaks? Did they get enough breaks? Did they get
yeah,
to,
like,
what,
how
drink
do they
water?
Get down? Like, are they standing on a little, like, platform on the water?
I guess so. Wait till somebody picks them up.
It's Orlando.
Boat.
Like, it's so hot.
Yeah.
And those dresses.
Those dresses. Hot. Anyways, the Pope family hired pretty women from around Winter Haven to be these women. Mm-hmm. These Southern Belles. And yeah, that became a big part of the town because people were starting to work there.
And that's why it rivaled the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
I'm still shook. I'm like, what?
How?
There's more.
Coattails.
There's got to be more.
Yes. So yeah, that's it. That's just the park's
and
over
that's
with.
The story.
And that's the story. The next addition to the park was sort of created on a whim as well. But I can tell you it was much cooler than the Southern Belles.
Okay. That's good.
No, yeah, that's very good. During the 1930s and 40s, a darker part of history was taking place, World War II. While Mr. Pope himself was serving in the U.S. Army National Corps, Signal Corps, I'm sorry, U.S. Army Signal Corps, Cypress Gardens was still receiving a lot of visitors. And it was possibly to distract themselves from the sad war times.
Right. Escapism.
Yeah. It is said that several soldiers were reading a local newspaper, and they saw a picture of a boat pulling water skiers in Cypress Gardens. They decided to take a visit, and upon arrival, they asked, "Where's the water show?" And that is when Julie Pope worked her magic again and threw together a water ski show.
Oh my God.
Using her friends and children to ski in it.
In that moment, she was like, that oh, day. You want to see yeah. the water show?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty dope. Right? That's actually so I can like picture
yeah.
it.
Yeah. She was just like, we got it. We got that for you. And of course, they're soldiers. So she's like, right. we have to put on a show.
Right.
The next weekend, 800 soldiers showed up to watch.
Oh my God.
And that is when water ski shows became a thing at Cypress Gardens. This is what really put the park on the global map. Over a short course of time, Winter Haven became the water ski capital of the world, all thanks to Cypress Gardens. The 40s, 50s, and 60s were super busy times for the park, and history was made. And I wanted to show you, it's not necessarily the shows that they put on, but it's basically a video from 1958 of the demonstrations, the ski demonstrations, and it's super cool. Oh so I'll include the audio.
I feel like I've seen pictures of this. Like, this is ringing a bell.
Yes, okay. Probably.
Water skiing, like most recreative pursuits, has its romantic side. The doubles, as this is called, isn't as sissy as it may appear. At 30 miles per hour, you must remember, all water is hard.
Oh my God. It's crazy. I love this video. This is amazing. Oh, Jesus.
This woman honestly, is literally
like,
laying
I would out. Love to see this today. Like, this yeah. is still cool.
It's very cool.
This is called the layback. It is not recommended for the Sacroiliac Society or anyone else affected with vertigo or chicken nerves. Hi, beautiful. Look me up anytime you need a new understudy.
Yeah, okay, creepy man.
Mike Osborne, the national champion and co-record holder,
so
steps from his takeoff ski and finds that his bare feet will support him. This phenomenal stunt was originated by former world's champion Dick Pope Jr., the son of the folks who created Cypress Gardens.
Yep.
Watch closely now, for Mike Osborne's going to sweeten up this stunt considerably.
He's grinning. he's skiing without skis, he's just using his feet.
Just his feet.
There it is,
barefoot
he did it.
Water
and you
ski.
Saw
one
it
foot.
Too.
Foot.
1 foot, barefoot, ski whiz.
Ski whiz.
Ski whiz. Gee whiz, it's a ski whiz.
Wow, that's a great video. I would definitely pay to see that.
Yeah, so they it was pretty dope. It was very cool for the times. And yeah, so I'm going to give you some little facts about Cypress Gardens, because it's kind of a long period of time from the 40s to the 60s.
Right.
So like I talked about the soldiers kept coming to visit, and apparently the gas that was rationed to them, so they had war rations because they have to, you have mm-hmm. to save,
right.
stuff, food and whatever.
Resources.
Yeah. yeah. So they used that gas to power the ski boats. In Cypress Gardens, over 50 world records were broken.
Whoa.
For water skiing, like various different
I mean, they
things.
Like, they basically invented it. Like, I mean, they didn't invent it, but they.
Yeah.
They honed it.
I mean, the son, like you heard in the video, is like the first guy to barefoot water ski ever.
Wow.
So that's pretty wild. Yeah. There were a bunch of movies and television shows that were filmed in Cypress Gardens, including On an Island with You, easy to love, which added another feature to Cypress Gardens. So it's this giant pool, which I'll show you a picture of. It's this giant pool that basically, I guess in the movie, they have women sitting all around it.
Okay.
I don't know if they did that during the park, but they just are in their bathing suits. But it's in the shape of Florida and it extends out into the lake.
Oh, that's fun. I want to see. Okay.
Yeah, oh, I want to see all great. These movies.
So they did
now.
Like a Bob Fosse thing around it with like this, or I don't know, was it Bob Fosse with all the water dancing and the caps? No,
I don't think Bob Fosse did that, but I see what you mean.
Who though. Is that guy that did
I don't
all
know
those
that guy.
Things?
But he probably choreographed this because I watched like a portion of Easy to Love, and they do
thing.
A whole thing. They do the famous woman. I can't remember her name.
Where they all, where it's an overhead shot and they're all like making shapes in the water.
Yes,
and like,
I love those.
And they're wearing the swim caps. It's so
it's,
great.
It's like they don't do movies like that anymore. They should, but it's fine. We can look back. I guess Moon Over Miami. Don't know anything about that.
I've heard of that one.
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about
it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
This is Cinerama, which was the first widescreen feature film ever.
Never heard of that either.
And The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson filmed a special there.
Have heard of that.
Yep, me too. Many celebrities were drawn to Cypress Gardens, including Betty Grable, King Hussein of Jordan.
Oh.
And even the king himself, Elvis Presley.
Whoa. And not surprising, right?
Yeah, it seems it's not like surprising. And I think Presley he, plays. Yeah, I think he skied too.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a sight.
And now I have to include this because I found it while I was researching and I'm thinking I'm going to do a mini episode maybe on this guy because he's like really interesting. There's a famous water skier and barefoot water skier that performed at Cypress Gardens, mm-hmm. and he became a legend. He like traveled and did it all the time, and his nickname was Banana George. And that's because he wore a yellow wetsuit. But I'm not gonna
not a banana hammock.
No, thank God. But, you know, it's I mean, maybe he did at one point. I don't know. But literally just wore yellow wetsuits. Yeah. And I will maybe do an episode on that. So we'll see. Stay tuned. Funny enough, this is a crazy thing. Roy Disney, Walt Disney's brother and business partner, visited Cypress Gardens before Disneyland had even begun construction. I had mentioned a little bit earlier about this Disney thing. There was a show at Cypress Gardens where I guess they put it together where the skiers were wearing like Disney costumes. So like Mickey Mouse and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Because and, this was pre.
Yeah. I don't know what year that was. But basically it's making me think that because of Roy Disney's experience while visiting, he probably was inspired by that to maybe even have
some
characters little dotted through the parks.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
I mean, yeah. There's a reason because, yeah, I mean, it's like they're walking around.
Mm-hmm. And then you have all the Southern Bells just like greeting people, being in
that
character.
You can just interact with, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the way that Cypress Gardens was ran inspired the way that Disneyland and Disney World was done. I guess they talked business. So Dick Pope welcomed Roy there and basically like told them about how everything worked. And
wow,
I think they took a lot of that and were like, oh, we could do that too. And Dick was chill about it, you know. He was like, all right. He was also okay with the idea of Disney World coming to Florida because this is over a big span of time.
Right.
And he knew that it would bring more visitors to Florida and also to his own park, too.
Right, I guess.
Because it's a different thing, I guess, to
right,
him.
They're different. It's true. And it's like, well, if they're coming for one thing, why wouldn't they do both?
Exactly.
It's why Universal is in the same town as Disney.
And, yeah,
like,
and why all over Florida. It's just tourist destinations.
It doesn't.
Everywhere.
They're not really competition because people do both.
Mm-hmm. When Disney World opened in 1971, unfortunately, Dick was not right about getting more visitors. they became kind of a competition, and less and less people started to come to Cypress Gardens. And I think part of the reason of that is that there was a new road. I think it might have been I-4, but basically,
what year?
I don't. 60s? 71 is when Disney World opened.
But, yeah, and I-4 was in the 60s.
Yeah, so like, I guess I think it's State Road 27 that runs right by. I could be really wrong on that. Anyway, there's a road that runs right by Cypress Gardens in Winter Haven, and that was the main road used.
Gotcha. So then
once they had newer roads, like people took I-4 and other roads instead, and that's why kind of they passed it.
Yeah.
We already learned a little bit about Dick Pope Jr. But basically, in the early 80s, Dick Pope Sr., his dad, retired and gave control of Cypress Gardens to his son. And fun fact, we already know that Jr. would barefoot water ski and ski, but also Sr. was an avid skier as well.
I mean, yeah, not surprised.
So it's pretty cool. From then on out, there were several changes in ownership. I'm not going to get into too much detail about all this because it's a lot, but a book publisher had ownership, and then in 1985, and they basically, I don't know how they're affiliated, but somehow they own SeaWorld Parks. So they were like, we're going to buy this to build SeaWorld Parks. And then after that, they sold it to Anheuser-Busch in 1989. Busch Gardens. Yep. And then one of the park managers, Bill Reynolds, bought Cypress Gardens.
Oh, wild.
And I think, I didn't write the date down on that one, but it was sometime after that. And yeah, so then the park ran until about 2003. And that is when it had to close for about a year. And this was because of the decline in tourism. And it sucks because 529 workers of the park were left without work and only had a 3-day notice, which is,
oh my God,
very bad.
And like, it's a huge park.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, that's poor man.
Yeah, they should have been able to like predict that earlier. But
yeah, and like, you know, give people severance pay. I hope they did that. And yeah, you need to give people notice. 3-day notice is not enough time. No one would have a job lined up after that.
I know. And it's said, on another sad note, that the decline in tourists is believed to be because there was a dip in people wanting to go travel to big places that are public, not public, but
because it was after 9/11.
Yes, because it was after.
That's what I thought. Yeah, and as soon as you said 2003, I was like, oh, I bet that's related. Because I bet tourism everybody just took a huge hit.
Yeah. Later that year, so this is 2003, or no, this is 2004 now, because it's a year later. After several hurricane delays, the park reopened, and it had some new rides added to it. They were Florida themed. They included the Okeechobee Rampage, Swamp Thing, and the Triple Hurricane Roller Coaster, which was named after the three storms that had like hit hard that year.
Oh, was it like Charlie?
Charlie, Francis, and Jean.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fun. Swamp it's Thing fun. And
yeah, I like Hurricane. The names.
Those are great names.
I love Okeechobee Rampage. I had to say that one. There's a couple more, but I was like, eh, these are lame. They added the adjacent Splash Island Water Park, which opened in 2005. And that same year, they added another roller coaster.
So before this, they didn't have any rides, is basically.
No rides. They had this one. I see. I don't remember what it was called. I'm really bad because a lot of the information I got from like the Florida Tourism page, and they took down, I guess it's the Visit Central Florida page. They didn't really mention anything about it, but they had this like, it kind of looked like the Space Needle, in Seattle, but it basically lifted up and then went in it, and then they could get like an overview of the gardens.
Gotcha.
I'm really terrible and don't know the name of it, but there that existed. But that's the only ride, really,
right? And it's really a ride in that it's not a thrill ride, right?
Yeah. Not a thrill ride. People would still take the boats and out and ride around the gardens and look at the ladies, I guess.
The ladies were still there?
Yes, they're still there.
Oh, good God.
Still there.
That's awful.
It's still happening. It's part of the park. It's part of the life at Cypress Gardens. So this group that owned the Splash Island Water Park, Cypress Gardens, and they did all these additions to them. Mm-hmm. They were called Adventure Parks Group, and they changed the name of the park to Cypress Gardens Adventure Park.
Gotcha. To make it, to try and a marketing thing.
Yeah, I think they were like out of Georgia.
Gotcha.
They have parks in Georgia. Now, following that, so all of those new additions, they were like, okay, we're great. Unfortunately, they had another decline in visitors. Adventure Parks Groups, the people who owned it, they filed bankruptcy. They had a temporary park closure again, and a few more. There was a few more times where the park was passed around, where the operations like jumped from different groups.
Owners and
Yes. So that was happening up until 2009, when sadly the Cypress Gardens announced its final closure. It is said that this was because, this is a quote off of Wikipedia,
okay,
all avenues to keep the park open had been explored, but they were unable to find a way to keep the park running in its traditional form. So, rip Cypress Gardens.
Man.
The end of a Florida legacy.
Damn. That's sad.
Yeah. Well, kind of. There's still hope.
Okay.
In 2010.
So, just a year later?
I guess so. Merlin Entertainments bought Cypress Gardens. And if you don't know who they are the Legoland people. And they're big time theme park and attraction operators. I think they're like British. Second in the world. Why did I say section? They're second in the world.
Really? They're second in the world? Are you kidding
I think Disney's first, but.
And Universal's third to Legoland?
I don't know. I just.
I mean, I know they're that they're in like the UK and stuff, so they might.
They might have
created. We're different. Like so US centric, but.
Like America's.
I guess best. It makes sense because there's no Universal's studios in any other countries, and so, there are Legoland's all over the place.
So they are the world's second largest theme park and attraction operator.
Wow.
So I don't know.
If makes sense. No. I take it back. In terms of the amount of theme parks that they have, or Universal Studios doesn't have that many.
That is
it's
true.
Just so popular.
The cool thing is that even though technically Cypress Gardens does not exist anymore, Legoland Florida exists, and they kept a part of the park dedicated to Cypress Gardens.
So So Legoland is where Legoland Cypress Garden was.
Yes, exactly. They they still have preserved the gazebo, and the Florida shaped pool.
You gotta keep
because those are the icons. So they just have like a little section at the back of the park that's like on the lake, and you can still sit next to a Lego version of the Southern Belle. Actually, I don't know if it's on the lake. I could be wrong. Yeah, it's like a little Lego. It's cute.
That's much better.
It is much better. And I have one more good thing to tell you. The thing that you were talking about earlier, you were like, oh my God, I would totally go see this. There are still water skiing shows because Winter Haven is like super into it. And yeah, people, lots of families get involved and they're all into it. Like there's like a show every month or something. Winter Haven
in
on
Winter
the
Haven,
lake,
but not but they like Legoland, right?
Yeah,
but
so
on the same lake,
exactly. And there's a basically a ski team that does like performances. You can hire them to go ski at whatever you want, but it's super
at your
cool.
own lake.
At your own lake, I guess. Yeah, I looked on their website and they're like, hire us. I'm like, okay, come to my birthday party.
Right.
but yeah, if you're in Winter Haven, you can check out a show. by the Cypress Gardens water ski team, which I'm sure some of them are like descendants from people that like they probably learned when they were young, which is really cool.
That is very cool.
But yeah, that's it. That's Cypress Gardens for you.
Oh, it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah.
I
don't really want to go to Legoland, but it'd be interesting to see that. Like, I don't even think, like, I want to go see the ski Legoland shows. Entails. Like, that is what I want to see. That'd be cool. Like, the gardens would have been cool to see, but, you know, I'm not about the, like, Southern Belle, you know?
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah.
I mean, I'm thankful they don't have those anymore, but I, like, love all of the ski team shit.
Yeah, that is so dope.
Also, I have a couple pictures of some skiers because they're pretty amazing.
I've seen like the people stacked on people's shoulders.
Yeah, so there's this one. So they did a lot of like competitions jumps. And stuff. Yep, so there's like jumps.
He's wearing a banana hammock.
Oh yeah, here's the vine, but that's
that's gorgeous.
It's not what I was trying to show you. So this I was really God, laughing at. They did a clown show, I think, apparently, but they have this Karina, you can describe what it is because it's really funny. I'm gonna put it on the Instagram because I saw it and I was like, oh my God,
it looks like a dinner table being pulled on like by a, you know, as if it was skis. And it looks like a dog
is sitting at the table. Isn't that cute?
And
he's a little red ascot on.
And he's wearing a little red ascot. And who's with him? Is that just
I think it's an Italian clown.
He's wearing like a a stereotypical Italian restaurant outfit. Red. That makes sense.
It's red stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got. I don't know.
I don't know why I think that. I don't know either. Maybe princess. No. Lady and the Tramp.
Princess and the Tramp. I mean, Southern Belle and the Tramp. But yeah, I was like, oh girl, look at this. So there's some beautiful so skiing. Cool. I'll post some of these pictures on the website.
That's the iconic where they're all stacked up. Yeah. Yep.
And this beautiful, look at her foot. She's pointing so beautifully. And yeah.
Ooh, hang gliding.
Yep. So we need to go down to Winter Haven to see one of these shows.
Yeah. I mean, I it would be fun if they had the like vintage outfits and stuff too.
I think they the website where the they have the team, the Cypress Gardens water ski team, they look pretty. They have little outfits on, but I don't think they're.
Those are just shirts.
Yeah. So
they do have little outfits. They're like dance outfits.
But yeah, like they look. They got wakeboarding kids.
Got flags.
This lady's doing an arabesque. That's beautiful. Can you imagine?
Rachel does dance. If you didn't know.
I wasn't going to get into that. Feet
and an arabesque. I do water skiing. People don't know what an arabesque is, Rachel.
Look it up. If you're a dancer, you know.
Hashtag if you're a dancer, you know.
If you're a dancer. But yeah, that's it. That's my little tale for today.
Well done.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, that's a fun story. I mean, depressing. I feel bad because I sounded like an asshole because I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Disney's gonna come and it won't go out of business. Yeah. It should be fine. And then immediately
that's why I was kind of set it up because you were thinking in the mindset of.
I mean, it does make sense, but they didn't take into account that Disney's a ruthless businessman and will intentionally put you out of business.
Well, that's kind of what he did. It's crazy, but he kind of gave him a lot of the ideas.
It's sad.
It is sad, but you know, Southern Belle's had to go. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. You should have got rid of them. By the 80s, they should have been long gone.
They should have been characters.
Yeah.
And I think
you could have done the Swamp Man. Where's your Swamp Man?
You would have had like scary things running around. You would have the next what is it?
Halloween Horror Nights
be like Halloween Garden Night.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
It'd be fun.
That'd actually be cool.
Be very cool.
Like the Swamp Ape and Swamp Thing. Skunk Ape. That
we will do an episode on him too.
Chupacabra.
I will not forget about Banana George either. So
okay, good to know. Banana George coming soon.
Be waiting for that episode. It's coming soon.
Banana George. So funny.
All right. Have a nice time with your lives, guys.
Have a good week. Happy weekend.
All right. Stop listening.
Okay, stop listening. Bye.
All the music for our podcast is provided by The Murmurs and their album Get Swell Soon. You can listen to The Murmurs on Spotify or find them on their Bandcamp page.
If you're interested in learning more about us, you can visit our website at peninsulaobscura.com and check out our Instagram at peninsulaobscura. You can listen to our podcast on most platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.